And welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face when they are released from incarceration. And we've got a great show for you today. I've got Rose here with me. How's it going, Rose?
Okay, hi.
Hey, listen, we're going to do an interview today with Kathleen Murray. This is an incredibly cool woman. She studied at Northwestern and at Notre Dame. I believe she got her bachelor's degree there. She studied at Harvard and studied in China. And she's a writer. And she's got a CPA kind of background, but she's done a lot of work in the area of helping ex-offenders, and we were privileged to be able to interview Kathleen, and we're going to present that interview today, and it'll be part one of a two-part series. As soon as we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how to identify your strong points on a resume, and then we're going to play the interview with Kathleen. We'll be back with more right after this on The Journey of Hope. Hey, I just want to remind everybody how they can get in touch with the show. You can get me on the Podbean page in the comment section, or you can contact me via email at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. Drop me a line. And welcome back to The Journey of Hope. We're going to spend this first section today talking a little bit about resumes. And one of the things that that's very important on a resume is to be able to point out your transferable skills. These are things that you're good at that maybe weren't part of your previous employment history, but it's things that you know how to do that you can try to sell on your resume. Let me give you an example of what some of these things are. Do you have good communication skills? If you do, and I'm sure that you do, you want to play to that on your resume. Add that as a strength. Problem solving. This is another one. You might want to take out a pen and a piece of paper and jot a few of these down. Analyzing. Are you able to analyze things? Are you able to attack them and find out the root of the problem and to get an answer quickly? Planning. Do you have good planning skills? Decision making. This is another big one that you can play too. Now, once again, all these things that I'm listing for you are things that may not be specific to your previous employment, but they're things that you can do well, and you might as well go ahead and stick them on your resume and try to sell them. And I'm going to continue listing a few of these. What about setting goals for a company or for a department in a company? That's an important skill too. Thinking logically kind of goes without saying, but in some employment situations, they might be looking for someone that's able to attack and to think in a logical way. And so you might want to play to that in your resume as well. Forecasting. This is a new one to me. Are you able to predict what might happen if things continue the way that they're going? You got to be careful with that one, but you might want to let them know that you're good at that. that one. Organizing skills. This is a huge one. You may have been a plumber in your previous employment and you're looking for a clerical position now. Well, you have the ability to organize, believe me, and you want to be sure and sell that on your resume. What about teaching? Have you been in a position before in previous employment where you've had to train someone? If you have, then you want to let them know on your resume that you're able to do this. What about managing? This is another big one too. If you had people that worked under you, play that up on your resume. Put managing as one of your strong points. Multitasking. This is a very big one. Are you able to handle several things at one time? If you were framing houses and now you're looking for a job in whatever sector it might be, this skill is something that you have. Believe me, I know that you do. If you were working in the construction industry and you want to play that up on your resume, here's some more items that you could put as far as transferable skills. And by the way, these transferable skills are broken down into two kind of different categories. One would be interpersonal skills, and the other one would be personality and work style traits. And the ones that I just mentioned to you would be more of the organizational and interpersonal types of skills. Now, you might want to jot a few of these down too. These are in the personality and work style traits. Are you diligent? If you are, play it up on your resume. Here is a huge one, patience. If you've got patience, and I know that if you've been through what I've been through, you've got patience, put that on your resume. This is a very admirable trait in someone, and you never know, the person that's doing the hiring might see that and say, wow, you know, that's someone we need, someone that's level-headed and patient. Dependable. Are you dependable? Put it on the resume. Very important one. Persistent. If you come across a problem in your previous work experience, whatever that job might have been, but you were able to stick with that problem and work through it and achieve the goal that the company needed, then you've got that skill of persistence and you want to put that on your resume too. Put that on there. Let them know. Now, you don't have to put all of these on there. You just kind of pick and choose the ones that you think would be most effective for selling the resume for that particular job. Here's a big one. Are you empathetic? Have you ever thought about that being a skill that you wanted to play up to on a resume? It might be, depending on the kind of job that you're looking for. If you're looking for a job, say, assisting maybe some sort of a drug counseling type situation, working in a counseling situation, put that on your resume. Show them that you know what that word means and what it's all about. Are you tolerant? That's a very important skill. You know, one of the things that I would look for if I was hiring somebody to help me right now is frankness. Do you have the ability to use tact when you talk to people, but to tell them the truth and to get to the bottom of what it is that needs to be said? That can be an important skill, say, in a sales situation. So you might want to consider putting that on a resume, this idea of frankness. Are you cooperative? Big one. That's probably one that people don't think about putting on a resume, but being cooperative. I mean, can you imagine someone that's looking at a resume? How many times do you think they've seen that on there? Probably zero. Stick it on there. What do you got to lose? You're cooperative, and that's a very important trait that you have in you. Play it up on your resume. Are you a self-starter? Now, this is a huge one. If you look at sample resumes out there on the different job boards and so forth, this one always comes up, but I don't care. I think you should use it anyway. I think it's a good one. If you think about putting yourself in the shoes of someone who's doing the hiring, do you want to spend a whole bunch of time teaching them what to do? No. You want to find someone that is going to jump right in and learn the job. Now, remember what we're doing here is we're talking about transferable skills. These are things that are divided into two categories. We have these interpersonal organizational type skills, And we've got these personality type skills. And, you know, I'm just kind of running through some list here, and you just jot down what you think, and you can go back and look and listen to the podcast again, and just to jot down the ones that you think are relevant to you, and you can play those up on your resume. Now, I want you to do something else for me real quick before we're done here. We're talking about these transferable skills. Take out a pencil and a piece of paper, and I want you to write down the answer to these two questions. You don't have to do it now, but just think about this, and then maybe later you can go back and jot these down. Here's the first question, and I want you to think about this. What abilities and skills have I always enjoyed using and want to continue using in the future? Let me say that again. What abilities and skills have I always enjoyed using and want to continue using in the future? Those, the things that you write down there, the answers to that question, out of the list of things that I've given you, find ones that match. Put those on your resume. Stick them out there for the world to see and sell them. Answer that question, and I think you're going to be surprised how many of those things that I read off are part of you in that answer. What jobs, here? And here's the second question. I want you to think about this one, and maybe at a later time write down the answers to this one too. What jobs are the best fit for me? And just think about that for a second. What jobs are the best fit for me? And then what I want you to do is to take the answers to those two questions and go back and look at the list of the two categories that I gave you, the list of transferable skills, and start putting together an objective of possible careers that maybe you haven't thought about based on this information. Okay? I'm hoping that you'll go back and listen to this part of the podcast again. We went through this kind of quickly, but remember, these are transferable skills, and it might help you not only sell your resume, but identify a new line of work. Okay? My name is Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this on The Journey of Hope. Hi, and welcome back to The Journey of Hope. My name is Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. We have on the phone with us Kathleen Murray. She's an award-winning journalist. She's currently a freelance writer. I believe that's right, isn't it, Kathy?
Yes.
And you've written for the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. The list just goes on and on, not to mention your book. You have an accounting background, I see. Accounting at Your Fingertips is the name of a book that you've written, and you also volunteer to help with people at the Fairfax County Adult Detention Center, and you teach employment and job search skill. Hey, listen, Kathy, I just want to get right to it here. First things first, I have never met anybody who has been released from incarceration that didn't want to take the steps necessary to become a productive member of society. And I find that everybody wants to work, and I want to focus on the job stuff today. And here's my first question for you. So you've been incarcerated, you walk out the door. What do you do first in terms of your job search?
I work for a nonprofit called OAR, mm-hmm. Fairfax, and I know that we are in touch with everybody in the detention center before their release, and sort of we let them know, you know, you've got to show up there 24 hours within your release, come mm-hmm. right over, you know, we will start helping people. A lot of people don't have the driver's license, they have credit issues, they have child support issues, they have fines, there's so many things that need to, you know, be done even before people can start looking for a job, you know, just kind of these basics.
You know, one of the big things, Kathy, one of the big things that I had a problem with when I was coming out of prison, I don't know if you looked to see on my webpage my history, but I was incarcerated and I didn't have a birth certificate. I didn't have a birth certificate, and that was a huge thing to tackle for me. Do you find that to be a problem?
Exactly, because how do you know? I mean, you know,
right.
How do you know where to get that? I mean, people just sort of assume, yeah, well, bring your birth certificate. So what did you do?
Well, I went to an office here, and I had to get it from California. I live in Texas, and it was a long, drawn-out process. And if that would have been started prior to my release, it would have been nice. But first things first,
well,
I mean—
That's a good point. A lot of times, again, if you start letting people know, you know, if you can be in touch with whatever sort of the reentry agency is that works, you know, with the institution where you are, or again, sometimes they're, I know the Virginia prison system, you know, has a branch within it where they start sort of helping people. You know, at the very least, you can touch base with people and say, I think I'm going to need this. Or, you know, that sort of thing. But again, you know, that's the first thing I recommend. I mean, we say go, you know, get released. A lot of people will hold their release date. You know, you get released at midnight. They'll hold their release date over until 8 o'clock so they can walk right over to our office.
Oh, perfect.
You know, so again, I would not, you know, I'd make that be the sort of first thing if you have that kind of organization available to you. You know, I know that we put people sort of immediately, there's a program they can go to, they can get a resume made if they haven't had one, they can go through classes that teach interviewing skills and listen to all sorts of people talk about, you know, how other people just like them have kind of overcome their backgrounds and moved on with their lives. So, you know, that's sort of my main recommendation.
Speaking of resumes, what would be your suggestion on how to address a time gap in the resume? What do you tell offenders when they're coming out about that?
Well, again, you know, we always say be as honest as possible. But the thing, first of all, I always tell when I start out teaching my classes is everybody has time gaps. You know, particularly in today's job market where people are getting laid off after years of you know, service through no fault of their own, and they're spending, you know, 1-2 years looking for another suitable job. Mothers who have, you know, left work for a period of time and come back with rusty skills and everything else. So, again, you know, what you need to think about is what you have been doing during that gap. You know, what skills have you been building up? You know, how can you address it? And then that sort of comes down to if you're talking about having been incarcerated, that is not something I'd put on, certainly would put on the resume. But again, that's something that we can talk later about addressing in the interview.
Well, is it okay? And I've heard people give different answers on this. And what is your thought about if you had a job in prison? For example, I worked in a garment factory where we made shirts, and I had no idea about how to do any of that stuff prior. Is that something that I should be putting on a resume?
Yes, it's skills. And you sort of reminded me of a very good point, and I should have said this at first. I mean, basically what we recommend is that you don't do a chronological resume, which is from this time to this time I worked here, this time to this time I worked there, because that highlights the gaps. What you would do is gather your skills. And again, you had mentioned transferable skills to me before. But, you know, those kind of skills. Now, what exactly was it that you did?
Well, prior to incarceration, Kathy, I was a school teacher and a football coach.
Okay.
So.
And so then you, but then with, when you were in the prison, what were the additional skills that you had gotten?
Well, I worked in a kitchen and worked in a garment factory. And I guess what I'm asking you is, you know, and I definitely learned how to do some stuff that I didn't know how to do.
Right.
So, I mean, should I put it on there? I've heard people say no. I've heard people say yes. What do we do?
You know, it's sort of like when I work with people, I work with them individually, but I always say don't discount any experience. You know, if for example, you were going to have a difficulty you know, getting back into teaching, and you knew that you're going, you know, to need additional skills. I mean, you know, again, you may have culinary skills, you know, or other things that you put on, and that's perfectly, you know, when you do a functional resume, it's easy to sort of, you highlight your skills first, and then sort of down at the bottom, you can put, you know, where you, you know, I worked here from there to there to there.
Right. Okay. Well, what about, so we kind of put a resume together and we're out shopping it. We fill out an application. What do we do about the felony on the application? How do we address that on the application?
I know. I hate that question. You know, I know everybody hates that question. I'm always encouraged when I see, you know, ban the box initiative.
And I noticed, you know, that some states have done that.
Yeah, there are some states that have done that, and cities, and you know, that have sort of looked at that and said, we're not going to. I believe San Francisco is one of them.
Really?
I wrote a piece about that before, but there's cities, you know, around where they have that. But again, it's definitely the minority. And as you said, you've got to face that question. I mean, basically, what we advise is to put, we'll discuss it interview.
Right. That's what I've heard.
A lot of times this is because we have, you know, A, you don't want to put no. Because if you put no and they do a background check or it comes up later, that's grounds for termination if you've lied on their application.
Right.
So, you know, basically what we usually recommend is yes, you know, we'll discuss it interview. I get questions all the time from students. Well, they're going to think that means the same thing. You know, but
it's again, a tough issue, isn't it?
No, it is really tricky.
It really
is. Really tricky. I've had people say, well, I just leave it blank. And again, well, you haven't lied, but I never want to encourage people to try to be deceptive because, I mean, as you know, sort of,
I agree.
You know, coming out and trying to start your life over, what you're trying to do is not, you know, against any of the behaviors that kind of got you in trouble to begin with.
Exactly.
And it's a slippery slope. And I have, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who've just become very good at at using that. We'll discuss an interview and gone on even into professional positions where they've just been quite honest in the interview about their past.
My experience, Kathy, has been that, you know, just getting the interview, if I could just get to the interview, you know, that's the hard part. And at that point, we could talk about the felony. And that's what I wanted to ask you about next. How do you answer? What are your suggestions on addressing the felony in an interview? What do you tell people about that?
Well, you know, again, you know, as I've said before, sort of be honest. You know, basically, what you need to do is, and I'll be interested to hear, you know, how you have addressed it as well as, you know, take responsibility for this. Yes, you know, I was convicted of a felony. And then, you know, there are different ways to describe it, but the point is, the first thing you want to do is just say yes, acknowledge responsibility, because we're all human. And, I mean, I have just been amazed at the times, you know, people have told me this is not going to work, and then they come back and tell me, oh, my gosh. You know, once I sort of said yes and said, well, you know, I was really young at the time. I made a very stupid mistake. I see, you know, the trouble that it caused people. But, you know, since my... You know, since I began serving my time, I've done this and this and this to better myself, and I'm really looking forward to showing you what I can do for you.
I like that.
I mean, I have some other sort of scripts sometimes that I that I use, but basically, what we're saying is, you know, acknowledge it, take responsibility, look the interviewer in the eye, you know. Too much information you want to avoid. I mean, a lot of times it's not even necessary to mention your offense, particularly in cases where it's not relevant to the job.
Right.
you know, sometimes people find that the offense was such a fluke that it's better. I had a woman once, to mention it, I had a woman once who, you know, had this incredible record with the military. Came home after Iraq, you know, back with her husband. They were drinking, ended up having a fight, turns kind of violent.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up serving like a year and a half. And, I mean, there was not another blemish on her record. You know, and so she made the determination, you know, she spent a lot of time thinking, I really didn't do anything wrong, but the bottom line was she had been arrested and she had been sentenced to serve this time, so she just ended up saying, I made a huge mistake.
Right.
And described the situation, you know, without a lot of detail, but it was a domestic issue with my husband and myself. We were drinking, got out of control, you know, I've, sought substance abuse treatment and, you know, really feel this was a one-off, you know, because of, you know, recently returning and blah, blah, blah. And she sort of moved right on to her.
So admit responsibility. Tell the person doing the interview that that you made a mistake, that you paid dearly for it. Maybe mention rehabilitation or something along those lines, and
right.
and you're ready to turn the page and move on with your life. That's kind of been what I've done in interviews, and I'm certainly not suggesting that other people do that in interviews. I want y'all to listen to Kathy, listen to what she has to say. She has some very excellent advice for us, and so we're going to do part two of her interview next week. And I want to remind you something: if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on Journey of Hope.